Many of us have never heard of Operation London Bridge until the death of the Queen, had we? Operation London Bridge was the code name to begin the plans for the Queen's funeral. Now, many of us got to see the results of those plans of Operation London Bridge, and everything was planned out and everything was done according to the plan. Now, if you looked at the plan, I don't know if you had, but each day after the Queen's death was known as D-Day plus one or D-Day plus two, D-Day plus three, and on it went all the way up to D-Day plus 10. The funeral for the Queen was an elaborate plan that needed people to be in certain places by certain times so that everything would just run smoothly. You may have watched and listened to everything that went on, and the plan was obeyed to the letter. What we saw were the results of people obeying the plan that they were given. It always pays to obey. Now, when we think of the many, many people involved in the Queen's funeral and obedience to the many tasks given to the thousands that were required for this funeral to take place and be what it was, and as we looked at that, even just that gun carriage that was carried along and how in step they were for so long, kept in order by one person's command. Now, it wouldn't have worked like that if people didn't do what they were asked to do. If people started doing what they thought was the best thing to do instead of following the plan, if that happened, well, the funeral would have been a shambles, wouldn't it? We would have had people walking all over the place. Maybe those who were stuck for 4 hours in the church would have liked that, but people would have been in the wrong place. Tapestries would have been mixed up. It would have been an embarrassment. See, obedience to the plan was required. It always pays to obey. It never pays to disobey. Now, the last four sermons that we've seen in Exodus have taken us through around 20 chapters of Exodus. And when you look at the second half of this book, we've seen a pattern. We can see patterns of command from the Lord and a response from the people. The first command and response we saw in Exodus 20, they were given the Ten Commandments, and then by Exodus 31, they've made a golden calf and they worship it, they sacrifice to it. They were given the commands and then they're disobedient and there were consequences. You may remember that 3,000 people were killed as a result. See, it doesn't pay to disobey. But there's another command and response. As we look at chapter 25 to 31, Israel were given instructions on how to build the tabernacle and the ark. And the response in chapters 35 to 39 is obedience. This is the section we're looking at today in chapters 35 to 40. And then at the end of chapter 39, in verse 34, it tells us how they obeyed. In chapter 39, verse 43, it says, "And Moses saw all the work, and behold, they had done it. As the Lord had commanded, so had they done it." Obedience. And then Moses blessed them. It always pays to obey. See, they did everything according to what the Lord had commanded, and they are blessed as a result. It seems like they learned from their first mistake. There's one more command and response in the book of Exodus, and that's in the chapter we're going to look at today, and that's in chapter 40. So have your Bibles open to chapter 40. And we can split chapter 40 up into two sections. We have the first half, 1 to 15, is a command from the Lord, and then verses 16 to 33 is the response to that command. Look with me at the command of the Lord in verse 1. So the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "On the first day of the first month you shall erect the tabernacle of the tent of meeting, and you shall put it in the ark of the testimony, and you shall screen the ark with the veil, and you shall bring in the table and arrange it, and you shall bring in the lampstand and set up its lamps," and on it goes all the way to the end of verse 15. These are the instructions on how to assemble the tabernacle. They've built it all, they've heard how to make it, and they made it as the Lord commanded, and now it's time to set it up. And read what happens in verse 16. "This Moses did according to all that the Lord commanded him, so he did." Now, why is this important? Well, it's important because the people need to remember that it always pays to obey. See, look at verse 17 as I continue. It says, in the first month, in the second year, on the first day of the month, the tabernacle was erected. Moses erected the tabernacle. He laid its bases and set up its frames and put in its poles and raised up its pillars. And he spread the tent over the tabernacle and put the covering over the tent, of the tent over it, sorry. And then listen for it. As the Lord had commanded Moses. And Duncan read that so well because he helped us to see all of those occurrences, all the times that it said, as the Lord commanded Moses. That's so different to the people who took the gold earrings out of their ears, melted it, made a calf, worshipped it, and sacrificed to it. Now we see that they did everything as the Lord had commanded. Look at verse 20. He says, he took the testimony, he put it into the ark, he put the poles onto the ark, set the mercy seat above on the ark, and he brought the ark into the tabernacle and set the veil of the screen and screened the ark of the testimony. And again we have, as the Lord commanded Moses. And it continues right through. Verse 23, as the Lord commanded Moses. Verse 25, as the Lord had commanded Moses. Verse 27, as the Lord had commanded Moses. 29, as the Lord had commanded Moses. And in 32, as the Lord had commanded Moses. How did they set it up? As the Lord had commanded Moses. It always pays to obey. It never pays to disobey. And it seems like the Israelites have understood to listen to the Lord. Now, it often takes us a while to realise that it always pays to obey, doesn't it? Now, if you've ever been to school, you may know what this is like. If you listen to your teacher and do what they ask, what happens? Do you get in trouble? Do you get detentions? No. It always pays to obey. When you obey your teachers, they let you get on with things. They help you. They want to see you do even better than you have done. They want to encourage you. And if you always obey, they often give you special privileges. It always pays to obey. And I imagine it's the same thing when you listen to your parents, isn't it? If you listen to your parents, you do what they ask, you listen when they talk, what happens? Things are good. We get to watch the programs we want to watch. They might even buy ice cream or take you to the movies. You may even realise that your parents aren't picking on you. See, it always pays to obey. Now, I'm sure many of you know what happens when you disobey your parents. Maybe the TV gets turned off. Maybe there's no friends that can visit. You might even have to go to your room or have no screen time or whatever else you may experience in your home. From what I've seen, life can be pretty uncomfortable when we continually disobey our parents. As we turn to Exodus chapter 40, we see what happens when the Israelites obey. Look at the last paragraph of Exodus chapter 40 from verse 34. And it says, Then the cloud covered the tent of meeting, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. And Moses was not able to enter the tent of meeting because the cloud settled on it. And the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. Throughout all their journeys, whenever the cloud was taken up from over the tabernacle, the people of Israel would set out. But if the cloud was not taken up, then they did not set out till the day that it was taken up. For the cloud of the Lord was on the tabernacle by day, and fire was in it by night, in the sight of all the house of Israel throughout all their journeys. The tabernacle was finished, and the glory of the Lord filled it. It was a sign that God accepted all that his people had done. He had saved them, they were obedient, and God in his mercy delighted to be with his people and fill the tabernacle with his glory. He blessed them. Now, some of you may have missed a pattern that we saw a number of weeks ago. The pattern was redemption, obedience, blessing. And we can see this throughout Exodus. We saw signs of redemption. It began when Moses was saved from death as Pharaoh's daughter drew him out of the water. We saw the Lord treat the Israelites as his special people, protecting them from the plagues and going before them as they headed out from Egypt. We saw redemption as the Lord rescued them from certain death as they stood before the water, yet the Lord parted the water before them and they went through. We saw how he appeared to them as a guide, a cloud by day and a fire by night, and how they ended up in the desert without food and the Lord provided for them, how he provided water for them, even though and even provided wise advice from Moses' father-in-law. The Lord provided and the Lord saved them. And this is the first thing we need to remember as we finish up our time in Exodus. The Lord has been at work to bring his people out of Egypt, out of slavery, and rescue them. This is the redemption that we see in this pattern. Well, the next one, redemption, obedience, blessing. The next we see is obedience. That's what's asked for. The Lord brought them out. He fed for them. He cared for them, protected them. And then in Exodus 19, God fulfills his promise to them as they arrive at Mount Sinai. He gives them the Ten Commandments and says to them, "This is how you will live. I have rescued you. I have redeemed you. This is how you are to live, how to worship him." This is the call to obedience. And they're given instructions on right worship and how to love one another. They were to be his treasured possession. And the Lord said to Moses in 19:5 and 6, "Obey my voice." Listen to what he says. "Now therefore, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, you shall be my treasured possession among all peoples. For all the earth is mine, and you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation." We've seen redemption. We've seen the call to obedience so that God can do something special in them. God saved them to be his treasured possession. God did all the work that we've seen in this series to make a nation for himself. And then he says in verse 5 here, "Obey me." And he commissioned them to be the nation that he made them to be. See, obedience means that it was now time for them to live up to what he had made them to be. A nation treated special because God decided he would make them special. And now we see the beginnings of a journey that takes them to the promised land. A land flowing with milk and honey. A land that is plentiful and a special place for God's people. See, God saved them, they're obedient, and now God blesses them. Redemption, obedience, blessing. And the blessing they receive is that God was with them. They could see the cloud by day and fire by night, and he stayed with them until they arrived in the promised land around 40 years later, where they would then become a blessing to all nations. Now, this is the same message or the same pattern that can be seen as Paul taught the church at Ephesus. Redemption, obedience, and blessing. See, in Ephesians 2, 8 and 10, and you might want to turn there, Paul told this church that salvation is given not based on anything special they've done for God, but because of God's special work for them. He sent his son Jesus to die in their place. He gave them the salvation that they needed to be friends with God. And as his good friends, they listen and obey. Listen to what Paul says in Ephesians 2 verse 10. It says, "For we are his workmanship." See, there it is. This is the work that God did to make the church of Ephesus his treasured possession. But then Paul goes on. "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand, that we should walk in them." Another version that I saw says it like this: "God planned for us to do good things and to live as he has always wanted us to live." How lovely is that? See, when we understand and trust that the death of Jesus covers over all our sin, we receive forgiveness from Jesus. It's always redemption or salvation first. The ark that was in the tabernacle that we read about and have seen over the last number of weeks was a symbol of God's presence with the people. And then on top of the ark was the mercy seat, where the sins of the people would be forgiven. They'd pour blood over the mercy seat, sacrificed from an animal that was sacrificed. And the blood would be poured over the mercy seat to cover over their sins. But Jesus, with his own blood, has covered over your sin. And there is no ark in God's ceremony or in God's economy. There is no building where God resides. Because as people who trust in the living God, we become his dwelling place. See, Moses wasn't even allowed to go into the holy place after he built it. I don't know if you noticed that in Exodus 40. But this says we are the new dwelling place, the new holy place. His Spirit dwells in us. And by his Spirit, we have been enabled to live a life of obedience to him. We don't try and be obedient to be accepted by God. But when you trust in Jesus, you are accepted by him. And as a result, we obey. And that's why we say it always pays to obey. As Paul reminded us in Ephesians, live as he has always wanted us to live. This has always been God's plan. We don't see the cloud by day or the fire by night because God's Spirit dwells within us everywhere we go. It's his Spirit that enables us to be obedient to him. It's his Spirit that turns our hearts towards him. God doesn't live in a building. He lives here, in us, in our hearts, showing us how to live for him. And this means that we can love those people who are difficult to love because we have his Spirit. We don't need to get caught up in the world's problems of hating people who are different to us because we have the Spirit that helps us to love them. The Spirit helps us as we seek to be obedient, but he also helps us to see that we're sinful, giving us the desire to repent and turn away from our sin. The Spirit gives us the desire to read the Bible and helps us to understand it. The Spirit gives us the desire to pray, to speak to our great God and tell him our concerns and our stresses and lean on him because he's already done so much for us. See, the Spirit gives us the ability to obey, not because this makes us special in God's eyes, but because he has already made us special. It always pays to obey. It took the Lord a long time to get the people of Israel to build the tabernacle. One place that I read said it takes about 9 months. It took them about 9 months. But when someone trusts in the Lord Jesus, there is an immediate transformation to be like Christ. He comes on us, he dwells in us, and helps us to live lives in obedience to him. What a glorious outcome to be made in the image of our great God and then to be transformed to be the new dwelling place of God. Well, let's pray. Father God, we thank you for the way you took a nation and turn them into your special possession. We pray that as your people today, we may see all that you have done to make us into your treasured possession. We ask that your Spirit change us and shape us into a people that you want us to be. Help us to see that it always pays to obey, and we pray all this in the strong name of Jesus. Amen.